glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket. The money comes, doesn't stay. Now they say I've got to pay. And the man's got his hands in the pocket. I got the red, white, and blue. Cause I got
we're here with the red, white, and blue, and I see that they've changed my theme song, and I was just getting popular. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for joining me tonight. The call-in number tonight is 1-800-313-9443. That's if you would like to call in and ask me a question concerning the beneficiaries and common technology that we have been exploring for weeks at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, you can also, as you probably know, you can also download the program minutes after we're finished at 11 p.m. and then take your time digesting much of the information that we'll be covering tonight. As you may know, the program is usually jam-packed. We have guests and we have callers and we have a ton of information. We are trying to be informational as well as enjoyable. And we're finding that people are transcribing the program and studying the program and integrating the information into the methods and operations of their various study groups, and I'm gratified for that. Well, friends, it's Sunday night, June 3rd, just past 9 p.m., and as you know, we're the featured act right here at Republic between 9 and 11 p.m. on Sundays, possibly with some time to be added during the week, and we'll have more information about that probably over the next week or two. We've been piecing together a veritable BIC user's manual the last few weeks, and we're going to continue that tonight and try and relate it to the overriding theme of how do you rescue an innocent former surety from prison or probation? How do you redraft those serious contracts and adhesion contracts by which you found yourself in trouble over the years? How do you redraft and handle repossessions and tax situations and all of the nasty controversies that have arisen in your life? I sent out an email earlier in the week, many of you may have received, that we're especially going to be featuring the notary process and the use of notaries tonight. Every week I receive many emails that say, should I do this with a notary? How do I find the notary? I'm using a notary, but she thinks I'm crazy. And so I think it's very important that you understand just the full potential of the Office of Notary Public within the United States and how it's really a portal to those of us that operate at times as creditors outside the United States. So we're going to look at that process with great specificity tonight and also the process of how we would employ, and I don't mean that in a commercial sense, notaries to the fullest extent of the powers that they have been granted in the various public venues. Notaries are universal. They're a worldwide entity, and they are derived from ancient law as officers of the king's first line in his court, his first representative in his court. So we're going to pick all of that up in just 2 or 3 minutes after the break, right here at Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. It's a pleasure to have you. Please tune in after the break.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. The call-in line tonight is 1-800-313-9443. If you'd like to send me an email or comment on the program, if you'd like to send a favorable comment on the program, by all means, send it on, please, to takenoprisoners@hush.com. And if you'd like to send an unfavorable comment, please send it on to George Bush, care of the White House, .gov.us, or whatever it may be. That said, it's a pleasure to have you here tonight. Now, just one little topic. Usually at the beginning of the program, we'll be covering little tidbits that you might find of interest or that might be relevant to one's success using commerce to your advantage as your remedy. And there is one topic that's pretty close to my heart this week, considering a number of events that have occurred. I can't count the number of times I've been asked, probably this week alone, "Sam, will this work?" Or, "Sam, how often has this technology worked? Have you had any success with this? How many people have had success with this? How long will it take for this to happen? How long will it take until that happens? What's the next step if it fails?" And all of those questions are understandable. but they also reveal a likelihood that the party asking the question will be unsuccessful in their chosen endeavor. The reason is simple. You can probably guess at it. The single most important element in success of any of these processes is the attitude of the individual asking the question. One parallel that was taught to me decades ago by a very knowledgeable attorney who consulted to physicians, dentists, and veterinarians was that if you took a physician who ran a successful practice and one who ran an unsuccessful practice, and they traded places, the successful practice would be run down in a matter of 6 months, and the unsuccessful practice would immediately start on a pathway to glory. The same thing is true in applying commercial procedures or any procedures in court. It all depends upon what's in your heart. How much fear is in your heart, how much persistence is in your heart. And, you know, you can look out over the faces at a seminar and almost point out those folks who will be successful. And those are the folks often that I will question the most heavily at the seminars because their experiences will be the most valuable to us. I receive all kinds of emails during the week, and you can almost immediately tell the attitude of the person who's writing the email. Some, for instance, when I send out a file as a courtesy to people that I think they'll find interesting, like that notice of rescission package, which I sent out this past week, it's the second time I've sent it out, and I sent it out this time because I revised the entire package literally the night before, due to circumstances where we felt it could be more effective, a lot more effective. And many times those will be stripped or emptied or I'm not sure exactly what does it. People tend to think it's the virus protection programs and some of the carriers have size limitations. But I'd say about every 7 or 8 out of 100 emails will be stripped. And sometimes the request that come in when it is stripped might say, Sam, thanks for the file. It looks interesting. Sorry to bother you. Would you mind sending it on again? And others may say, the file was blank. And you can just see the anger in the email. And my experience has been that the folks that respond like that who either have the attitude that's indicated by a simple email like that or who are feeling so stressed by their circumstances that they respond in that manner, they're going to have the most trouble in the courtroom, and they'll probably have the most trouble in the private process as well. Occasionally, I get emails from folks who resort to trickery and deception, believe it or not. Excuse me. Sam Davis used to say, and probably still does, lie to me once and you'll never get another opportunity. I was struck by that the first time I heard him say it. I thought it was a pretty forceful statement. And I've always had that in the back of my mind, but my own personality is geared towards making allowances for folks being under pressure. Or, as I've said to many people over the course of my life, you know, you're probably just having a bad day. Maybe we should pick this up tomorrow. But those who resort to trickery and deception, who will make statements in emails that we know are blatantly untrue, who will try to play one party off of another, those kinds of folks, I can almost guarantee you, if you come into these procedures with that kind of an attitude, you're almost certain to be unsuccessful because it's a reflection of fear-driven behavior. And fear-driven behavior will be immediately visible to the experts in the courtroom. They can smell blood at one part per million, just like a shark, if not at half a part per million. In fact, you don't even have to open your mouth. Just look up at the judge, and he'll know who he's dealing with. So my point is that it's not really the brushes, it's the painter. It's not the tools, it's the carpenter. It's very much within your hands and within your heart to make yourself a success. I genuinely believe that, and I base that opinion upon the circumstances that I observe every day. And as you can tell by this program, I'm not one to deal in generalities. I'm a keen observer of human behavior. I always have been. Let me say, I have been ever since I've been a writer, which has been over a 30-year period of time. And my mind tends to collect those experiences and then be able to categorize them and grow from other people's mistakes. So I would caution you that you have to look within yourself to see if you'll be successful at any of these. Very often I get emails that say, you know, I'll make a suggestion what I might do in a particular situation, and the response will be, I tried that. I tried that two or three times, and it failed every time. I've gotten emails that say, we've tried that 40 and 50 times. I got one email maybe a month ago that said, our group has tried this 80 times. And when I get responses like that, I look very carefully at who is making the response and exactly what they mean by it. And the first thing I do is examine the previous paperwork, and that can be done in seconds usually. And what I find is that when someone says to me, we tried that and it didn't work, what I'm actually seeing is that they made mistakes in the process, and that's why it didn't work. I hear all the time, you know, I put a dozen BOEs in, and now this is happening and that's happening. Or I tried every possible commercial procedure, and nothing worked. My friends, when you've tried every commercial procedure, that's the very reason that nothing worked, because the people that you were trying them with recognize that you don't know who you are. You haven't taken your stand with confidence in your procedure to the degree that would be convincing to them, so they know they can walk all over you. When they tell me this treasury liquidation didn't work, I immediately go to the documents or just question them on it, and invariably it wasn't a treasury liquidation that was performed. It was a process that looked like treasury liquidation, but in fact they were trying to pay it and using the wrong instrument for the liquidation. They had instruments that said they were liquidating, but in fact they were attempting to pay it for the first time, and that's why those procedures have failed. They've used BOEs that drew on the Treasury instead of instruments that deposited to the Treasury, and I don't mean that pejoratively at all. 5 years ago, we didn't know any better. Well, some of us knew better, but most of us didn't know any better. So I'm mentioning all of this because I was on the road most of this past week, and when I'm on the road, I'm listening to my iPod intently. Like the rest of you, I key in on Winston Shrout on his Monday night interview on another network. And in listening to a back program, I heard the email that was sent to me read to him. So apparently it was sent out to Pastor Massad as well, the one mentioning 80 commercial failures in a row. And Winston had some very diplomatic answers for that. However, I followed up that email, and that email is not sourced the way it appears to be. And the party writing that email was writing, well, let's just say there are provocateurs that are out there, and that email was not what it appeared to be. And I say this, and I say this without being pejorative, before reading an email like that on the phone, on the air, and in fact before reading any email on the air, it's our duty as hosts to vet those emails, especially an email that makes such outlandish statements as the one that was read on the other network. It's just inappropriate to bring forth inaccurate information in an industry, for lack of a better word, in a movement that has had so many casualties who have suffered even at the hands of accurate information. So I would suggest that everybody who can hear my voice tonight just rely upon your own judgment and your own experiences and the trusted words of your close friends to understand what has a decent chance of working in your hands. We'll see you after the break.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, if you're interested in attending the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, that's the five-day comprehensive conference being held from August 2nd through August 6th in Albany, New York, then please send an email to robertat@hush.com. As you may know, we're encouraging groups to pool their resources and send at least one or two representatives to take the technology back home, and I'm gratified that so many groups have taken us up on that suggestion. We have groups who are sending five representatives at a time, and needless to say, the space is filling up fast, so I really would not leave it to the last minute, considering the activity we've had so far. Now, before we get into the notary technology, which is going to be very interesting and very helpful, regardless of what your situation is, I'd like to go to the phones, and I see we have Pat on the phone. Pat, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, welcome, Pat. For those
Thank
who didn't
you.
Join us last week, let me remind them that Pat was a caller a guest last week during the latter half of the program and had a very interesting story to tell us. Pat, I found it fascinating that when you intervened on behalf of your son, I believe, is that correct?
Yes.
In your son's case, they hauled you in out of the courtroom, and the matron, the sheriff's matron, I presume, attempted to play hardball with you, and you stuck with your guns, and you signed whatever form they required of you, maybe an appearance bond or something like that. You signed it in limited capacity. Why don't you tell the folks how you signed it?
Well, when she originally wanted me to sign it, I put my name, but underneath it in big letters, I put under threat, duress, and coercion, and she went ballistic and tore it out of my hands. And, well, actually, I didn't have it in my hands. It was on the desk. She picked it up and ripped it up and shouted obscenities at me and said, now I'm going to have to start all over.
And she made threats against you, and she made serious threats of battery and other things. And eventually, you wound up signing, despite those threats, you wound up signing the instrument how?
Under threat. I signed it threat, duress, coercion.
No signature even?
No.
Right.
If she wanted to take that as my signature, I guess she was a little more obtuse than most public officials.
Well, you know, that's an example of something. And it's something that many of the folks who write me emails should be aware of. And that's that once you've established yourself as a creditor, not standing in fear before them, many of the things that you are told will be deceptive and, in fact, very often fraudulent and untrue with the sole purpose of intimidating you into volunteering into the system. A macrocosm of the tax system or any other adhesion contract that you're offered, except under these circumstances, it's really at the point of a gun, a more overt point of the gun than the other adhesion contracts are. However, we've seen so many times over the years when people are told that they'll be held in contempt or that they'll be strip searched or that there's a warrant waiting for them. Many of the times, those are pure bluffs. Is that the only time that's happened to you?
To me, well, right now, after a year of that case sitting there silent, a friend of mine checked on at the end of November and said that when he pulled up my name, nothing came up, but when he pulled up the case number, it said there were two warrants in the case.
Right. Now, that leads to a couple of topics. First of all, I may have mentioned to you that a warrant is a general term. There are many different kinds of warrants. But at its most elemental form, a warrant is an order from a court, and it can just as easily be a warrant to quash the case, to terminate prosecution, or any other favorable order as opposed to a bench warrant for arrest. So we've seen
my notary went over and looked, and he said on the screen, and they couldn't get to the case, but he did look on the screen, and it did say warrant for resisting arrest and, you know, what was originally in the case. So
you said a warrant for resisting arrest?
Yeah, when the sheriff was shoving me out the door, he kept putting his feet between my feet to make it look like I was struggling to get away.
Yes, but did it say a warrant for your arrest for resisting arrest?
I believe that's what he said.
Well, check with the notary, because it could have been a warrant for resisting arrest, meaning it's nothing. Very often they will issue warrants and they'll keep them in the local computer and won't issue them generally,
mm-hmm.
meaning they're just a piece of paper in the computer.
Right.
There are ways to discover whether or not you're the subject of a bluff, and let me give you some examples. For instance, the judge says to you, if I hear one more word out of you, I'm going to order the prosecutor to draw up a motion to hold you in contempt. Folks, if you hear something like that, it's not what it appears to be. And when we return after the break, I think we'll explore that and some of the other bluffs in more detail so you're able to recognize them when they cross your path. Please join me.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks again for joining me. We now have about 17 minutes straight to talk with Pat, and we're going to expand that discussion into specific BIC technology and a very interesting announcement regarding notaries for all those folks who use notaries out there, which is probably the vast majority of our audience. So, Pat, we were talking about the propensity of some public officials to issue bluffs in particular cases. But a lot of times when I see various circumstances, I see the exact opposite of what many other people see. A lot of times when people come to me with situations that they consider to have been adverse, I look and I see a victory. And a lot of times when they bring me circumstances they think are favorable, like one I heard about just an hour or two ago, I look at it and say that that may not be such a favorable outcome. I see it in the opposite light. And the same is true with many of the statements that public officials will make publicly by letter or in open court or even in the hallway outside of court. So when the judge says something like, I'm going to ask the prosecutor to make a motion or to file a motion to hold you in contempt if you say that one more time, that would probably be something that you would take pretty seriously, wouldn't you, Pat?
No, I'd accept it for value.
Good. And what do you think would happen when you would do that?
I'm not sure because, as we both know, the judiciary and the prosecutors are the wild card in everything.
Well,
if they know what you're talking about, it will probably stop them at least for a little while, and they will probably issue a second threat.
Just to see
if it was a fluke or if you knew what you were talking about.
About 2 weeks ago, we spent a good portion of the program talking about how to handle contempt threats, and there are many, many ways to handle such a thing. But when the judge says to you that he's going to order the prosecutor or he's going to request the prosecutor to issue a motion to hold you in contempt, to me, that's an absolute sign of weakness. That's the message I'm receiving from that judge is he would do anything to distance himself from this case. Because otherwise he'd say, I'm holding you in contempt, or one more word and I'll hold you in contempt. He's trying to shift the liability to the prosecutor. There are many times in cases we've had... My apologies for that. This was an act of God. I think God selects his moments very carefully. There was apparently a momentary... Yeah, there was that was the second blackout. Apparently, there's been a power surge in the booth, and all the equipment went out momentarily, so we lost our connection. That's happened twice. My apologies, and anybody who's transcribing the program, you can edit all this out. No one's interested in the technical glitches, and move right on to the next paragraph. So Pat's not with us. I'll continue on by myself here. We've lost our callers as well. And I think we'll head right into some of the notary information that we were talking, that I had intended to talk about, and then we'll go back to the callers, and hopefully they'll call back. Or many, my producer will be able to salvage a call or two on the line. How many of you really know the power of a notary? What are the actual powers with which notaries are empowered that make them such a usable tool in the redemption process and the BIC process? Well, let me read you, if I may, from New York, Executive Law Section 135, which is entitled Powers and Duties, semicolon, in general, semicolon, of notaries public who are attorneys at law. Let me read that again. Powers and duties, semicolon, in general, semicolon. And then it says of notaries public who are attorneys at law. Now, that is meant to imply that this paragraph is about notaries who are attorneys, but it's not. That's why the semicolons are so important. This is powers and duties in general, and also of notaries public who are attorneys at law. By the way, under the rules of English usage, of English grammar, if you look in the Chicago Manual of Style, for instance, you'll see that a semicolon is a substitute for the word and. This is the governing law for notaries in the state of New York. Let me read it to you. Every notary public duly qualified is every notary public. That already tells you that the title was garbage. The title was written to be deceptive. Duly qualified is hereby authorized and empowered within and throughout the state to administer oaths and affirmations, to take affidavits and depositions, to receive and certify acknowledgments or proof of deeds, mortgages, and powers of attorney, and other instruments in writing, semicolon. Now let's look at that. To take affidavits and depositions. Now folks, that's an enormously powerful position. A notary in most states can call a deposition and can summon witnesses and can issue notices of default on the deposition, providing you with the highest level of evidence that certainly cannot be ruled to be hearsay in any particular case. Pat, have you ever used a notary to take a deposition?
No, but a friend just did over the weekend.
Yeah, it's becoming more popular. We've been doing it for quite some time. In fact, I got a call tonight from someone, a friend who is a justice of the peace, who called a deposition and held it in a courtroom. He just went to, I presume, the county court or perhaps a state court and asked them if he could use a room, and they welcomed him right in. And that may have a favorable outcome. They seem to think it was a favorable outcome, and that's the case I was mentioning earlier. I heard the results, and I'm thinking if this was a favorable outcome, the judge would have decided right then. The judge bought time to get away from the deposition so he could have an ex parte conversation with the plaintiff's attorney in this case. That's what I think is going on. I hope I'm wrong, but that probably is what happened. A notary deposition can be an extremely powerful way to turn a case off, and it has worked in my hands numerous times. We've used it almost exclusively to depose ourselves, to bring the record of the administrative process into the public. Like I said, a notary is a portal, from the dark side to the light side in this case, from the private to the public. And then in the courtroom setting, they have to contend with a United States agent, a notary public, and that's what a notary is, an agent of the United States, certifying that the other party was in default and has lost its right of rebuttal and objection. And, of course, that would be its right of rebuttal to its own confession of judgment and its own stipulation of the account having been settled, which was certified earlier by a notary in the same case, and that's the process we'll be talking about tonight. You've used notary processes in the past, I'm sure.
I have an in-house notary.
What do you mean in-house?
I'm married to one.
Well, there you go. So you probably won't have need. You may not have need of the service we're going to be offering tonight. So Pat, now that I stumbled into that, I want to announce, before we continue reading the notary law, let me announce to everyone listening, for all those folks who send me emails saying, I don't have a notary, or, Sam, what do you think? I found a notary at the bank who's willing to try this. Well, rule number one in using notaries is never, ever use an ordinary notary. Never use a notary who isn't experienced within the so-called Patriot Movement, who is not experienced in private administrative remedy and commercial processes. Pat, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Why?
Tried it once with someone who wasn't and did not turn out well. Had to start all over.
Well, that certainly would be a concern, but I'll tell you, Pat, I'm more concerned about the safety of the notary.
That too.
And all it takes is a quick letter from an attorney to that notary. Excuse me, I have never seen a notary request documents. I'm going to report you for practicing law without a license. And that notary will turn on you on a dime. More importantly, that notary could wind up in trouble because she doesn't understand what she's doing and she doesn't understand the principles of administrative remedy, default, and tacit procuration. So we recommend when a notary is being used, only use an experienced notary. And there are many of them out there, even though you may have trouble finding them. And that's what I'd like to mention now. Let me announce around the country that we are starting a notary depot, a place where you can be put in touch. I don't want to call it a referral service because that sounds like there's a commercial side to this. It's not. But notaries will be manning that particular email address and will be arranging to have those who inquire hooked up with competent notaries. Now, the email address is notarydepot@hush.com. Now, folks, that site hasn't been established yet, but it will be, hopefully, by the end of this evening. So why don't you wait a day or two on sending an email to that address? And when you send an email to that address, all you need to do is send a blank email that says in the subject line, need notary, and put your location, the city and state next to it. Or send an email that says, I'm a notary, and put your city and state next to that. Or you could send an email that says, need sureties, and that would be for indemnity bonds. So in this way, I work with some very, very fine notaries, notaries who are completely familiar with my processes and paperwork, notaries who will not sign anything that could be that is inappropriate for a notary to sign, and notaries who can serve as a good guide as to, from the perspective of the notary, what would be an acceptable certificate to be issued in the in a default or non-response setting. So, Pat, why don't you continue along with where your case is at now, please?
Actually, it's just sitting quietly. You and I talked a little bit about a way to maybe get in there and find out exactly what was in the file. We prepared the indemnity bonds over the weekend for my case, my son's case, and my husband has a credit card case. So we got the indemnity bonds ready to go out on that.
How many bonds did you do in your case? How many indemnity bonds?
Right now, we're just starting with the first indemnity bond and then the straw man bond also.
Okay, and how long has your case been going on?
A year last November.
So, and what kind of charges do you have in your case? Felonies, misdemeanors, multiple, single charges?
Two misdemeanors.
So it's probably not a very expensive case.
No, but my son's is probably the expensive case.
And what are the parameters of his case?
He had a felony charge that he pleaded out, and he served 9 months.
And he's out, and that's a probation situation, as I recall?
Right now, yes.
Yes. Well, if you've served time, you can anticipate that the liabilities could be much greater. So what we're seeing is fellas serving 8, 10, 15 indemnity bonds at $300 million each to amass the funds that they need. And right after the break, that music means we have a break coming up. I believe it's a three-minute break. And right after that break, we'll discuss how to stagger that carousel of indemnity bonds in high-powered, high-priced cases. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, friends. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Pat, and Pat was just advising us that she has prepared a variety of indemnity bonds to be used in two or three different cases. Pat, what we're seeing are numerous cases where fellas have been in prison for years, or the cases have been dragging on, or multiple felonies, or all of those circumstances, and they're very expensive cases. They could have amassed penal sums in the billions of dollars. So what those folks are doing are filing a progression of indemnity bonds, each in the amount of $300 million with a 30-year term, and they're doing that usually at four-day intervals, even though the ideal recommended interval is 35 days. So every 4 days, another $300 million indemnity bond is registered with Treasury. Then they're writing an offset bond against multiple indemnity bonds. So the offset bond, let's say it's a $900 million offset bond, that might be routed against three different indemnity bonds, and that would be indicated at the top of, just underneath the face value of the offset bond. And then one or more promissory notes are being written and routed through that master offset bond. So that's a pretty good overall structure for how one would be able to handle the logistics of a single indemnity bond carousel. What kinds of parties did you put on your indemnity bond for, in your son's case, for instance?
We have all the players that were in the courtroom. We're looking up. He was transferred several times. We have all the wardens from the different jails that he was in. We have the county sheriff, because he's the one that started it all. Who else do we have on there? Public defender.
Okay.
State's attorney. The judges.
What about the statute?
Didn't think of that. I'm glad you reminded me. Thank you.
All right. So we would want to add statutes. One or two other entities that I would include on my own offset bonds would be any other agencies and officials that I thought I might have contact within context of that case. So I might name the chief judge of that part. I would certainly name the entire court. I would name the chief judge or justice of the appellate division. I might name all the judges in the appellate division. I might even name the Supreme Court and the justices and chief justice of the state Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. So it could be pretty lengthy, and I'd still try and squeeze the whole thing on two pages front and back. And the only portion of an indemnity bond that's in color usually is the scroll border and sometimes the bond number, which on the template that I use is in the upper right-hand corner. So that starts the process off, and it sounds like you're well on your way. Have you prepared Treasury liquidation?
Not yet, no. As you knew, I had some questions, and I'm glad you went through this, because I think that's kind of a stumbling block for a lot of people. They understand what they're supposed to do, but they don't understand exactly, you know, what the basics are as far as preparing the bonds and how to use them best.
Yeah, the parameters of utilization. Now, after you get through that hurdle, then the next area of confusion probably has to do with the method of presentation. And let me just say that I have augmented the presentation methods that we presented only a month or two ago at the last Law Merchant, the last and the first Law Merchant Leadership Conference that we had, so that when we make presentments, 10 days, well, let me back up on that. We have three methods of making presentment, what we call option one, option two, and option three. And option one involves a notice of counsel.